Was it the Cape Drive time? 0722380712 is the WhatsApp line. And what you can do is tell us what you think. We now cross to a special story, a rather interesting one. The Attorney General, Auditor General rather, uncovering fraud in COVID-19 relief funding. The Auditor General's report on COVID-19 funding has uncovered evidence of corruption. Okay, we knew that in the spending of the government's relief package. President Ramaphosa requested this audit to track how the funds were being diverted. Online is Executive Director for the Democracy Development Program at the University of KZN, Dr. Paul Kariuki. Dr. Kariuki, welcome.
Thank you, Shafiq, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
This is a pretty damning report by the Auditor General. I think we all expected it. But he outlines some rather interesting, if not disconcerting scenarios, and one of them being that certain government departments didn't have the IT capacity to deal with what they had to deal with. What do you think of that?
Well, as you correctly say, it was rather expected that we could expect that the report was not going to be positive, because already a week or so before, there was already damning allegations of public servants who had already been involved in some corrupt activities. But lack of capacity, IT capacity, is another game altogether, which shows that there has been a serious neglect of institutional technical capacity building, and it's almost unforgivable in this day and age to even have that as an excuse that will create a situation where such needed resources will find their hands in unwanted people because of system failures. So, yeah, that is really unfathomable in every imagination.
Yeah, I mean, the Auditor General has pointed out to a major failing in government, which explains a certain amount of incompetency. And I've always had the impression that a lot of corruption occurs because it can, because of incompetent administration and technology that doesn't work.
Yes, and the issue of technical expertise has always been a big problem in the public sector, and has always created concerns among many scholars and researchers of public management. And it's because one of the areas that really creates room for manipulation and misappropriation of resources is when people do not even know why they're in that office or why they're doing what they're doing. And sometimes maybe it's high time that we should start even recommending once in a while there is a skills audit of public servants, because if resources will start finding their way in the hands of wrong people just because officials cannot be able to interpret documents or not able to interpret their responsibilities, then we have a very big problem. It's not just corruption now. We have another scale of a problem that needs to be addressed urgently. And at the same time, also need to start talking about, regulations that will stop public officials from doing business with the state. If we put those two together in system failure, technical incapacity, and then skills deficiency, and then you have public officials doing business with the state, then you can see the magnitude of what we are dealing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly speaks to a lot of things, because yesterday we were talking to the interim chairperson of one of the portfolio subcommittees dealing with this whole scenario of state employees doing business with the state, and claiming that some state employees didn't know that they were not able to do business with the state, which I find absolutely gobsmacking, because there's legislation that's against it, which nobody wants to apply.
Yes, yes, again, yes, I would agree with you. It's very hard to even to believe that, because it's almost an ethical requirement. At the time one is being appointed as a public servant, one of the things I think they should be knowing or should be told in advance is that they cannot do business with the state. So any reason that is adduced to try to minimize that kind of allegation is really not going to work, because it is expected that a public servant serves the public, not the interest. The moment you bring business interest in public service, you create room for manipulation and misappropriation of resources.
I mean, I've been absolutely bewildered, and it's a mild way I can express it, at the fact that public servants seem to have thought that they actually have a God-given right to do business with the state. I mean, I just simply struggle to get my head around this utterly bizarre notion, the same bizarre notion as a former comrade once telling me he wasn't in the struggle to remain poor.
Well, that idea of entitlement because of their contribution at that time is what I think has also created a lot of problems that we are dealing with now as far as systemic corruption is concerned. Now, in terms of Regulation 13, C of the Public Regulations of 2016, it prohibits public service employees from conducting business with the state. We have not had that being repealed to say otherwise. Yeah.
Yes.
And then in addition, the Public Administration Management Act of 2014 makes it a criminal offense for public administration employees and their special advisors to conduct business with the state. So again, we've never had that being repealed to say otherwise, isn't it? So if you have to read these pieces of legislation that are still active up to now, it therefore means that if any person is found to have contravened these acts, then they are guilty of an offense, and therefore they are subject to a court process, yeah, whether they're going to be fined or imprisoned or both. But somebody somewhere has to be held accountable for flouting the existing legislation that guides ethical public service.
No, absolutely. What is encouraging is that the Portfolio Subcommittee in Parliament is taking it seriously, because now they have to. Finally, politicians in Parliament are realizing they've actually got a job to do, which I'm sure you'd agree is quite encouraging, and I'm not even being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. And of course, slightly more encouraging as well is the fact that we are seeing a number of pushbacks in terms of state employees being fingered for corruption. But I'm sure you'll agree that the COVID-19 funding thing is different, because here people's lives were at stake. And I think people who were involved in corruption with COVID-19 funding need a special place in hell apart from going to jail.
Well, I will leave that for the courts to determine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste in our mouth as citizens and the people who really, want to see things working in favor of everyone. It is wrong and immoral, to say the least, for anyone to disempower the most vulnerable of our society by taking that which belongs to them when they're in a capable position of feeding and fending for themselves. That is immoral. It's losing our sense of humanity, irrespective of whatever the case may be, and it must be condemned by our strong sentiments so that we make sure that these things do not happen in the future. It is not the end of pandemics, but if we do not learn from what we have seen now, the repeat will happen again, and we're entrenching an ethic in our public state that it is okay to do what they have done. And therefore, it's all eyes are on government right now, based on what their Auditor General's report he released yesterday, and of course, upon the our president in terms of action. Because if no one is held to account, then it means it's endorsed, and that's not right for a democracy.
Absolutely. So let's hope, as Dr. Paul Kariuki says, we see action with a capital A. Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director, Democracy Development Program, University KZN. Thanks for chatting to us. Stay safe.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, and have a good afternoon.
Drive Time on 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.